Good habits make our brain work to our benefit. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Good habits make our brain work to our benefit. Do you want to have your brain work to your benefit? I sure do. I want my brain to work to my benefit, and I realize that it's only through persistent, consistent, regular practice, which is called a habit, that I can do this. Good habits make the brain work to our benefit. Now, what sort of good habits would make my brain work to my benefit? What sort of good habits would make that happen? Well, the good habit of thinking happy thoughts. I always like to think happy thoughts. I always like to look at the world with unconditional eyes, with an unconditional attitude. And I look at everybody and I see them fantastic. In fact, I see them so fantastic, I see them just like I am. Fantastic. And as I look at them with my fantastic eyes, with my fantastic attitude, they are fantastic. There is nothing in anyone to change. There is nothing in the world to change. There is nothing in any, because in me is that ideal beingness that I would like to have. And that's my habit. My habit is living in my ideal beingness. My habit is living in the wonderful world of joy and peace and harmony and goodness. My habit is always seeing the world as the ideal that I hold forth for it. Even though at times it might not be too easy to see that, I hold forth this ideal to it, and I see it. Now, why do I say sometimes it might not be the way I hold forth my ideal for it? Well, I allow myself to drift from my habit to appearances rather than reality. And when I allow myself to drift from my habit of reality, then whatever I allow myself to be aware of, that is what I experience. Now, if I can keep my mind so in my original purity and integrity, so beautiful, so good, so wonderful, so fantastic, then that's just the way it's going to be. It does not know any other beingness. It does not know how to do anything else other than that. But it takes a habit, a good habit, to bring forth good experiences. If my habit is to look at the roses in my garden and see them all glorious all the time, I don't need anything else. I don't need pesticides. I don't need fertilizer. I don't need water. I don't need the sun. I don't need anything. Oh, boy, you're really pushing this to the limit, aren't you, Herb? Yes, but that's the truth. I can surround my plants with my pure white light of love. I can surround my plants with my pure caringness. I can surround my plants with all the beingness that I am. And those plants will radiate outwardly exactly what I shine into, onto, about them. Now, how do I know this? Well, I practice it many times. However, this is the death knell. It's a death knell, if you want to call it that. Whenever I allow other people into my private world, into my world of purity and goodness, integrity and beauty, then they have a tendency, because they see the world through their eyes, of telling me that my world is not correct, of telling me that the things that I'm teaching and sharing and living and loving and being are not correct. They want to correct the master, and I am the master of my thought. I am the master of my being. I had a young fellow write an email the other day, and in the email he said to me, he said, you know, Herb, you're acting like the master for other people. And I thought to myself, oh boy, did I get the message incorrectly out there? If other people think I'm acting as the master for them, then I truly am not acting as the master for myself. Because a master is one who is master of himself, not master of anyone else. The rest of the world around him may do all sorts of interesting things, but it has no interest or no effect or no awareness on the consciousness of a master. If a master concert pianist is playing his instrument, and he is playing his instrument in his living room, and outside on the street are repairmen who are tearing up the concrete and putting in new streets and so forth, and the dogs are going by barking, the children are playing in the backyard, having a good old time and screaming their heads off and just as hollering as loud as they can because that just delights them somehow. The master pianist does not hear any of that because that is not in his script. That is not in his on his page. That is not what he's playing. That's not what he's doing. He is into his music 100%. Nothing disturbs him. So it is with great artists. So it is with anyone who applies their habit to the ultimate. And their habit of being unconditionally loving, their habit of living in a world of peace and harmony and goodness, living in a world in which their ideas and their dreams and their desires and their goals and their aspirations are being fulfilled. Not only being fulfilled, being fulfilled, but they are full. They are done. So long as we are being fulfilled, we are in the process of an action. When the action is complete, then we say, it is done. And let us all say, it is done. The master pianist is playing in his living room, with the whole world going about its activity around him, and he is untouched, unaware. He is so self-disciplined in his art and craft. He is so self-disciplined in who he is, he does not know anything else. Now, that's all that we have to do. That's all. Just be like the master craftsman. Is the master craftsman trying to tell the men working on the concrete in the street how they should use their instrument? How they should chop away here and chop away there and split off a little here and they should go for the jugular vein so they can split the whole thing virtually at once and go kapach and make it all beautiful again? No. He sees his world beautiful. His world is his music. His habit is his music. His life is his music. But you say, well, that's not very good for being in the lives of others. Oh, yes, it is. When he stops playing his piano, he has not stopped being in harmony with all his universe. He remains 100% harmonious with all his universe. He is untouched by anything in the world that is out of sync with the harmony that he is. We too, instead of listening to the raucous qualities of life, we listen to the harmonious qualities. And as we listen to the harmonious qualities, those qualities are the ones that we experience in our world. That's all that there is to it. That's all that we know. Good habits make the brain work to our benefit. Good habits make the brain work to who and what we really are. The brain is just a vehicle, a device that accomplishes whatever we want. And the brain will dwell upon, recognize, respond to, listen to. The brain will be aware of whatever it is we choose to have the brain be aware of. There were men in Japanese prison camps in the Second World War, and they were isolated. And so one man decided, well, I'm going to play golf. So mentally he played golf. another man, and he did very well at it. When he came out of the prison camp and went back to a civilian life, he played golf, and he played beautifully because he had been practicing. And he played even better than he had before. Another was composing music on the piano. And he composed music in his mind, and the piano was in his mind. And he closed his eyes or not, it didn't matter, because he was in the awareness of that music. And as he was in the awareness of the music, he was realizing he had some new device, that all he did was strike the keys of the piano, and to strike the keys, touch the keys of the piano, to bring out the harmony and the beauty and the magic of the music of his soul. He didn't know the keyboard, but he taught himself the keyboard. He didn't teach himself the keyboard by saying, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. He knew the keyboard by intuitively playing by ear, listening to the music within him, and then playing it on the keys. And as he played it on the keys, then each key he struck put that key into the scale. It put it in onto the sheet music he had in his mind. And so when he got out of being a prisoner, when he went back to his own life again, he wrote this music down from his memory, because he had so beautifully designed it, so beautifully created it, and he presented that music as unheard of music, but glorious, harmonious, symphonic in every respect. Many more stories come out of illustrations where people are bereft of all of their possibilities of working in a normal way, and they do very abnormal things, from being not able to do things in a normal way. You and I, we live in a life where the world goes on about us. Life goes on about us. The world keeps turning about us. All the things keep happening. And when we determine what it is that we want, then that's where we go. I go down to the Apple Store, and the Apple Store is exceedingly busy. There are hundreds of people coming and going. There are 50 men and women who are working there. It's just a small store. It's just a store which might be considered about twice as wide as a normal like store. But it's just a store. And then they have these stools, like teacher stools. And you sit on these stools, and the person who's going one-on-one with you sits on a stool. And the two of you look at your computer, or at the computer that you're looking at. And your mentor, your teacher, tells you what it is that you wanted to learn. You wanted to learn some of the details of the Apple program. And so your teacher says, okay, this is what we do. We press these keys to get to that. Now, you press those keys. And so you press those keys. And now do it again. Do it again. And he has you do it two or three times so you feel comfortable with it. And up comes some information that you want to have. And then he says, okay, now let's go on to this here. Now do this here. Now let's go on to this. And then he goes with his fingers and zips across the keyboard and zips across the screen, and you say, wow, what did you do? Oh, I like that. What did you do? And then he knows he's got your interest. He's got your 100% interest, even though the store is milling with people buying and receiving and learning and talking and listening and playing computers and having music and having... But you don't even know that. You are 100% with your teacher. You are 100% with the beautiful information he's giving you that's going to be helpful for you to use your computer to the maximum. He's a blessing to you. He's a blessing to you. And he's developing it with you, a good habit to make your brain work to your benefit. Now, all those people in the store don't even know each other. Oh, maybe the 50 clerks do. Clerks, we should call them geniuses. The 50 teachers, the 50 people who work with you, they know. And they're such young people, such dynamic, beautiful people. And yet, as all this activity goes on, it doesn't disturb you. And sometimes you'll sit in a class. I've sat in a class right in the middle of the room there, people mulling around, and we're maybe 15, 20 people, and we have an instructor talking into our face, and we're looking at the keyboard that he has up on the screen, and we're looking and listening to him. Sometimes it's hard to hear him with all the noise of the room, but we tune in ever more diligently to listen to him, and we hear him, and we learn, and though things are so complex that we have never considered them before, we are taking it into our head, and then little by little we're assimilating it. Little by little we're becoming aware that this is how it works, but we're untouched by the world around us. We have developed such beautiful habits that we see only what we want to see. We see our instructor standing there talking to us. We see the person who is the clerk in the store, and we go in to buy a hard drive or something like that. And we say to the person, I want it to do this, this, this. He says, oh, very good, it's right over here. And so he takes us over there, and he points to it, and he shows us the various items, and he says, now this is this price, this is that price, this is that number of gigabytes, and so forth. Now, what is it you intend to do with it? And in just a few beneficial moments, he is going through everything in our mind, telling us what to do, what to think, how to think about it. All that we have asked of him, he gathers together and tells us, now this one is probably closer to what you want, this one's a little less expensive, this one's a little more expensive, this one gives you a longer time, you'll be ready for the next upgrades on these things with this one. And so immediately you can make up your mind. You do it with all the confusion going on around you, with all the people talking, people oftentimes coming and bothering your salesperson or your instructor while they're selling you or instructing you. And they turn their head to the people and answer their question in a few moments and come back to you, not missing one beat, and your intention, attention is right there with that salesperson, with that genius, with that geek, with that person who's giving you the information that you want. What beautiful habit have you developed by being able to be one-pointed, by taking your attention and putting it one-pointedly on whatever it is that you want. Now we can do this in every area of our life. We can look at the appearances and see the truth. We can look at people talking and people thinking, seeing and people acting in different ways and be untouched by it. We can know what we want to know, and it is done for us, and it is beautifully done. Because that's who we are, that's what we are, and that's why we are, and there's no other direction for us to go. We have everything right in a nutshell, right there for us. We are the masters of our thought, of our action, of our life, of our world. We are able to be so concentrated, so one-pointed, that we can utilize our habit of being one-pointed. It's just a habit. It's something we develop. It's something we encourage ourselves to do. And we can listen to many things at one time. When our teachers turn their attention away from us for a moment, we can turn our attention to the object that we're looking at, and we can read the labels on it, we can be aware of it. When our teacher comes back, we're all the more ready for being instructed in whatever we're learning. We have the opportunity to be a master. To be a master of self-diligence, self-dedication, self-determination, self-discipline. We have the opportunity to be a master of all these things that make all the difference in the world in us, around us, and about us. And we can do it today, and we can do it everlastingly. And how we do it is to develop the habit of concentration, of one-pointed listening, one-pointed attention. And when we do that, when I do that, then I am indeed the master of my entire being, my life, my affairs, my world, myself. It's a glorious experience, I tell you. It's a glorious experience. Join with me in this glorious experience. And as I surround you with my love, know that it is sincere in every way. I love you. I love you. I love you.